All right, that being said, we want you to turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter number 6 this morning, if you would please, and read a few verses out of the 6th chapter of John. Beginning in verse number 35, John 6, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I've said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I preached 2 weeks ago from a passage in Isaiah 53, which is rather stark when it says he was rejected and despised of men. We received him not. And I thought as I studied this message, why was Jesus rejected? Was it because of all the people he healed? Like the leper he couldn't be healed. Or the woman whose arm he straightened out, the man whose arm he straightened out, the woman who had the issue of the blood. Anything that you find the Lord Jesus being recorded in the Word of God that he did, why did they reject him? Why did they hate him so? And then you begin to read some of the things that he said and you come to the conclusion it had to be because of what he said. It wasn't what he did. I mean, who wouldn't want to see a leper cleansed? Who wouldn't want to see a man who was paralyzed made to walk? And on we could go. But something really stirred up their hatred of him. And I believe the key is found in verse number 35 when he said, I am the bread of life. I am. Those two words, simple words. I am the bread of life. Jesus, 7 times in John's gospel, declares himself to be I am in a special way. And this is the first time. From this point on, you'll see the persecution of the Jews begin to increase. Now, he just fed the thousands, 5,000 plus the women and children in chapter number 6. And as a follow-up to that, he says to those who are listening, I am the bread of life. And back in verse 32, talking about the manna that the children of Israel ate in the wilderness, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread of heaven. You wonder why they got upset? You wonder why they got angry? Well, this is the key. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And I just fed all these thousands. They want more. But that's not what he's dealing with. He's not talking about the bread that will fill your stomach. He's talking about the bread of life. As I said, 7 times in John's gospel, he says, I am. And that's a special word. Actually, 2 words in the Greek, but it's a word that it's taboo to them. He has no right to say that. I am. And they get angrier and angrier. But he says here, I am the bread of life. You know how important bread is to a human being? But he also says, in addition to that, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What did he tell the woman at the well? If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and I would have given thee living water. He declared himself to be the bread of life, the water of life, two staples that we must have in order to live. That's why they're angry with him. That's why they want him crucified. That's why they eventually would crucify him. I'm the bread of life. Let's go on. I want to read all seven of these and then we'll come back. Just turn a few pages to John chapter 8 and verse number 12. Where he says this, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm the bread of life. I'm the water of life. I am the light of the world. Now, if you read back in John chapter number 1, the first chapter of John, you'll see in John chapter number 1, he says in verse number 4, and I'll just read this to you quickly. In John 1 and verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, he wasn't talking about physical light. He was talking about something else. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was shining, but they couldn't see him. He was shining the light, and they didn't understand that he was talking of himself for a while, but eventually they understood what he was saying. I'm the light of the world. And beloved, just if you know anything about the world and Christianity, you can realize that multitudes of people will bear witness to what Jesus said. He's the light of the world. He's my light. If you're saved, he's your light. You give him the credit for all, any light that you may have, spiritually, any understanding you may have of his word and the things that he did. He's the light of the world, and until I knew him, I had no light. I walked in darkness. But multitudes bear witness. I love that old song we sing, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The man that wrote that was a terrible sinner. But God saved him. And he wrote that song. It's one of the most popular songs in the world, from what I understand. I was blind, but now I see. He's the light of the world. The only reason I see is because of one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it wasn't a vain boast. This is the truth. I'm the light of the world. Now let's look further in a few more pages in John 10. Look in verse number 7 of John 10. Then said Jesus unto them, again, verily I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. I am the door. He says it again in verse number 9. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice how all these I ams are connected vitally to being saved, to knowing Christ and having eternal life. I'm the bread of life. He that eateth of me shall never hunger. He that drinketh of me shall never thirst. I'm the light of the world. If any man follow me, he'll not walk in darkness, but he has the light of life. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Every time he says I am, he's connecting it with something spiritual. He's connecting it with eternal life, with living forever with the Lord. So he said it twice in verse 7 and verse 9. I'm the door. I'm the door. Which means, you know what a door is for. The door is to keep people out, but it's also to let people in. I'm the door of the sheep. That's his people. That's those that he loves. But let's read further in John 10, verse 11. I'm the good shepherd. In every case I'm reading these to you, in every case the Greek words are exactly the same. I am. That's what I'm stressing. I am. That's the title of my message. I am. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. See how he connects it? He connects it to eternal. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But notice, he says it again in verse 14, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and I'm known of mine. Anybody that's saved should bear witness to that truth. He's the good shepherd of Psalm number 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David wrote some beautiful Psalms. And he recognized the Lord as a shepherd. Do you recognize the Lord as your shepherd? If not, you're not saved. But he is the good shepherd. He's not just a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. And he gives his life for the sheep. He spends a lot of time in detail on that. I can't stay with it any longer. John chapter number 11. Verse number 22. Now Jesus had been away and his two people that he loved, Martha and Mary and Lazarus. His two sisters sent word, Lazarus is very sick. The Lord didn't come. He stayed away deliberately for 4 days. When he got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. But notice, Martha, when he comes, Martha runs to him. Verse 22, well, let's read verse 21. Then Martha said to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it of thee, or God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. See how he connects that I am. Just not that I exist, but I am the resurrection. I'm the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come into the world. Showing her faith, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Again, John 14. You know this one. Verses 1 through 6. Gospel of John, 14th chapter, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, see the connection. Every time he uses this title of I am, he connects it with everlasting life. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. The last time is found in John 15, verse number 1, right across your page probably. Where Jesus says and this is the seventh time, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are you clean through the word that I have spoken unto you? Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, even or no more can ye, except you abide in me. Now he repeats it again in this chapter, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Again, he connects it with eternal life. Seven times in the book of John, he claims these titles, these abilities, this power over men. In John 1, verse 4, we read this to you. In him was life, and life was the light of men. So their life and light are brought together. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am these things. Now the words that are translated from the Greek in every case, two words in the Greek, ego, which we use kind of usually in a talking about people that we call them egotists, but Jesus was not an egotist because in the Greek it means I. That's what it means, I. These two words, I am, are from the Greek word ego and from the Greek word I, me. I am, I, me, or I'm ego, I, me, in the Greek. And it simply means to be. I exist. I was before, I am now, and I ever shall be. Isn't that what he says in the book of Revelation? I'm he that was, and is, and ever shall be. Same description of himself. But so interesting in John. Remember in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know what the word was means in the Greek? I exist. I've always existed. I will ever exist. I am. The Word is God. I am. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was a self-existent, ever-existent God before he came into the world. He's the only man ever born into the world that existed before he was born. He lived before he was born. The self-existing, ever-existing, self-sustaining God. That's what he's saying. You wonder why the Jews got angry with him? Well, I'll show you why now. Let's turn back in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus, the third chapter. And you know the Jews worshipped Moses, and they served Moses, and everything they did, they attributed to Moses, and they were always throwing up Moses to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus just refuted that. We'll get back to it later in John chapter number 6. But if you know the story of Moses and how God called him out of the wilderness, out of the desert, to go down into Egypt and to bring his people out of Egypt. It's recorded in the third chapter. In verse number 13 of chapter number 3 of Exodus. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. In the Hebrew, the same meaning to these two words, I am. I am existing. I've ever existed. I will ever exist. I am the ever-existing, self-existing God. Moses, you tell him, I am hath sent me unto you. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ 7 times in John claiming, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the water of life. I am everything that you need. I am the God of the Old Testament in the person of the Son. That's why they hated him. That's why they wanted to kill him. So when you read those verses where it says, he came into his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see why the Jews as a whole rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He's claiming to be God. That was the accusation in his trial before the Sanhedrin. He's cursed. He's worthy of death because he claimed to be God. Did you ever hear him claim to be God except to say, I am? I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I'm the light of the world, I'm the water of the world, I'm the bread of life. But I want you to think with me a few minutes as we just think back. When God called Moses and gave him this name to give to the children of Israel, what followed that? When Moses, finally with encouragement from God and sending him Aaron to help him to be his mouthpiece, what began to happen? You know about the 10 plagues. You know how mightily God judged the nation of Israel, or Egypt rather, how he judged that nation because they wouldn't let the children of Israel go? I am judged them. Consummated with the terrible curse of the firstborn dying. And then they said, get out. They hushed him out. They wanted him out of there. Because I am sent him down there. I'm the self-existent, ever-existing one. And Moses went down and told Pharaoh. And he resisted him. He repented 2 or 3 times, but he kept resisting. And finally, God killed the firstborn and they were ready to get him out. Follow them as they go out into the wilderness. See the Red Sea as it opens wide and stands on the sides. The water stands up and they go through dry shod. Jesus said, I am. He's claiming to be God. Follow them into the wilderness. As God calls down that bread from heaven and calls it manna, and they go out and gather enough for one day, except on Saturday, enough for 2 days. If you get more than one, it'll stink. Except on Saturday. Follow them further and see God telling Moses to strike the rock, and water came forth from that rock. They were thirsty. They had no water. And God fed the thousands of Israel. It wasn't a little trickle like you see coming out of a fountain, beloved. It was water. It was water in such a size it was like a river. And God watered all of them. Jesus said, I am. Yes, he claimed to be the I am who came down in the Shekinah glory on the tabernacle after Moses finished it. He claimed to be the I am that thundered from Mount Sinai and gave him the 10 commandments. I am the God of heaven in the person of the Son. He's the one that said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Follow him as he faces the rebellion of Korah and his brethren. And God causes the mouth of the earth to open up and swallows them down into the earth. Follow him to the walls of Jericho, where Joshua marches around and the walls fall down flat when they shout on the last day. Jesus said, I am. He wanted them to identify him with God in the Old Testament because he is in the person of the Son. He is God. But let's bring it closer to hand. We mentioned John chapter 4 when he said to the woman, if thou know who it was that saith to thee, give me water, thou would have asked of him. And he would have given thee living water. And the wonderful thing about it is he did give her living water. Before that chapter was over, chapter 4 of John, he saved that woman. She had had five husbands, and she was living the man she wasn't married to, but Jesus saved her. He made provision for her sins on the cross of Calvary. Follow him as he fed the 5,000, and a few days later, he fed another 4,000. Follow him in chapter number 11 as he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, and then he proved it. In verse number 43 of chapter number 11, he said to Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth bound in grave clothes. Still had his grave clothes on. Did he prove that he is the I am? Over and over and over again, he proved it. Not only did he raise Lazarus from the dead, but remember Jairus' daughter, he raised from the dead. Remember the widow's son of Nain that he raised from the dead. Remember himself that he raised from the dead. As he said in John chapter number 10, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. It's finished. He dismissed his spirit, the Bible tells us. Can you do that? Can anybody do that? Can you just dismiss your spirit from your body? You know you can't. The power of life belongs to God. I know you can take your life. That's different. He laid down his life and he took it up again. That's the power of the gospel. How that Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. That's the capstone of the gospel message. Not only did he die, not only was he buried, but he rose again. He proved what he said. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. How can anyone doubt that this man Jesus is the glorious God of heaven? How can anyone doubt he has the authority to save everyone and anyone that will come to him? How can anyone question this man's ability with all the proof upon proof upon proof that he gave while he was here, that he was God and he has power of life and death? The power to make alive eternally. Now we pray that God would heal our sick, and that's right, we're supposed to do that. But you know the greatest need of every human being is not their physical well-being. It's their spiritual well-being. Because as much as God might extend their life here on earth, they're eventually going to die because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, physical death. But he that liveth and believeth in me hath everlasting life. He has that authority. He has that power. And it's not a vain thing for me to stand and preach this to you. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will give you everlasting life. He has the power. He's proved it. I am. I am speaks to you today. I am says to you, I'm the bread of life. If you come to me, you'll never hunger again. If you come to me, you'll never be thirsty again. If you come to me, you'll have the light of the world. If you come to me, I'll become your shepherd. You'll never perish. No man's able to pluck them out of my hand. The self-sufficient, ever-existent, self-existing God came down. Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what really stirred the Jews up was when he claimed to be God. That's what got them. They didn't mind the healings, as long as they didn't do it on the Sabbath day. They didn't mind all the good things he did. What they minded was who he claimed to be. His name is Jesus. I'm not ashamed of that name. His name is Jesus. The name itself means Jehovah is salvation. His name is Christ, which means the anointed one. He's the one anointed of God to come into the world. And as we read in Colossians, and we'll turn here and close the message. Been preaching through the book of Colossians on Wednesday night. What a wonderful, encouraging book it is. Colossians, chapter number 1, look in verse number 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, the only peace that can ever be made between God and man has to be made through Jesus Christ. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I notice verse 21, because I want you to apply this, please, and you. They were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. What does he call upon you to do? Be good enough so God will save you. Live a miserable, separated life that somehow you think was what God would want from you? No, he wants you to come to Christ. You that were sometimes alienated and enemies by your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. He's shown you the light. He's given you the ability to repent of your sins. He's given you the ability to trust in him as who he is. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. You're not holy, but he's going to present you holy. Present you unblameable. You're not unblameable, but he's going to present you unblameable. And unreprovable. You're not unreprovable, but he's going to present you unreprovable in his sight. As Paul says in the 2 Corinthians letter, chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God can make you what you could never be. He'll make you perfect in Christ. He can put your sins where they'll never be found. He gives us several good illustrations of that. In the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to believe what he said 7 times in the Gospel of John, I am. And they knew what he's talking about. If you look, you'll see from John chapter 6 on, they really began to get angry with him. They began to demand his death because they knew what he was saying, claiming to be God, which he is. Notice I didn't say which he was. I said which he is. He still is God. May God speak to your heart tonight, today, if you're not saved, and give you the ability to just cast yourself on the one who can do everything that you need, supply every need you'll ever have, and give you eternal life. And your doubts and your fears and your dread can be removed because you're trusting in him. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nothing you'll ever do will cause God to change his mind. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.